Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. Christians down through the ages have wondered why the people of Israel sinned to the point that God took away their land. The answer is found in the fact that Lucifer introduced a false doctrine that took root while the Hebrews were in Egypt under the bondage of Pharaoh. This hell teaching is the foundational religion of the Antichrist system, and its followers have worked tirelessly since the time of King Solomon to usher in their false Messiah. Ezekiel exposed it, but if you do not know about the twisted and insidious teachings of the Talmud and the Kabbalah, you will not understand the seemingly foreign words of the prophet. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I have a teaching today that is going to be longer than normal. And I decided this, I'm not going to look at the clock. I will simply just take the time that it takes to finish this message. I believe it is very pertinent. It's a message that will talk to us for today and what we are experiencing. So before I get into it, those in the chapel, would you stand with us? We're going to pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that I have the opportunity to be in the pulpit, to Father God, not only speak to the people in the chapel here, but to speak to people in many different parts of the world. And I ask right now for an anointing. Thank you for healing my body. Thank you for keeping my voice strong today. And I thank you, Father God, that you will move in such a way that people will understand and that they will change and they will walk with you. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. If you got a Bible with you, turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 8, and we're going to start in verse number 1. That's Ezekiel chapter 8, verse number 1. The Godhead wanted to expose the sins that were practiced in the temple at Jerusalem. Ezekiel, the priest, the prophet, was supernaturally taken from exile from Babylon to Solomon's temple. The prophet made sure to provide the exact date, 6 years and the fifth day of the sixth month after the exile, when this event took place. And we read it now in the Bible. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell upon me. Why was it important that he simply recorded when he was given this message? It was important for us that live today, and it simply was important because God had given Judah a grace period of 10 years. And we read here from my outline. The first group of Jews were taken to Babylon in 597 B.C., which means that this vision happened in 591. There were still 3 years, 5 months, and 25 days left on a 10-year grace period before Jerusalem. And the temple was destroyed, and the rest of Judah was taken to Babylon. So, the first exile had taken place in 597. Ezekiel now was given this vision. And there were still 3 years left of the grace period. In other words, God said, I'm going to give a message. I want to save Judah. I want to save Jerusalem. I want to save the temple. Will you repent? Let's talk about the vision. Jesus appeared to Ezekiel again, and this time the Son of God was surrounded by an amber light. Verse number 2 in Ezekiel chapter 8. Then I beheld a lower likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward fire, and from his loins every upward, as the appearance of a brightness, as a color of amber. Jesus came personally to Ezekiel. Just like Jesus had come to Abraham, he had come to Moses, he had come to other people in the Old Testament time. And this was so important that Jesus came himself. Now, there are some people in the church that think that Jesus began in Bethlehem when he was incarnated. Remember this. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have always existed. They have no beginning. They have no end. Jesus Christ has always existed. Jesus is the Creator. Jesus was incarnated in Bethlehem when he got a human body. But he didn't begin there. His body began there, but not Jesus himself. Just like the Apostle John will be taken to heaven in the future, when this was written, Ezekiel transferred to Jerusalem and was placed inside the temple. And we read it from verse number 3. And he put forth the form of a hand, took me by a lock of my head. Remember now, he had shaved his head. God told him to shave his head. And a little bit had grown out. So Jesus took him by a lock of his head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heavens and brought me the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looks toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoked to jealousy. As Ezekiel gazed at the north gate, which is the door in the temple, he saw a pagan statue had been placed at the entrance, and the Son of God, Jesus, called the Great Abomination. Verses 5 and 6. Then said he to me, Son of man, lift up your eyes now away toward the north. So I lifted up my eyes toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore to me, Son of man, do you see what I do? Even a great abomination that the house of Israel commits here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary. Return you again, and you shall see greater abominations. Let's talk now about the 70 elders. And before we get back to Ezekiel, keep your fingers there and turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 22. That's 2 Kings chapter 22. And we read here a couple of verses. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoiada, the daughter of Adaiah of Bothkath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turn it aside to the right hand to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Uzziah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Athaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe to the house of the Lord, saying, Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, where the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. Let me drop down to verse number 8. And Hilkiah, the high priest, sent to Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought king word again, and said, Your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, have delivered in the hand of them that do the work, have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, and Akbor, the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah, a servant of the king, saying, Go, you inquire of the Lord, for me, and for the people, and for all of Judah, concerning the words of this book. That is found in the great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according to all that which is written concerning us. The reason that I brought this out is that Shaphan was part of the revival, the great revival. Shaphan and the king and others, they simply repented of their sins. They turned back to God. And they turned the nation back to God. But Shaphan now had a son. And his name is Jeshaniah. And Jeshaniah turned 180 degrees away from God. The tragedy is, you can have a father, you can have a mother that walks with the Lord. That does not guarantee that the child or the children will walk with the Lord. Matter of fact, a child that has rejected the teachings of God, that they fought God at home, will become a hell child, very rebellious. If you go back to Ezekiel now, chapter 8, we're going to read verses 7 now and on. And he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall, and when I have digged in the wall, behold the door. And he said unto me, Go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do there. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. In other words, they had decorated the temple room in that particular place with all abominations that they could think of. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jeshaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Jeshaniah now had turned around. He did the very opposite what his father did. And he was a leader of this group of 70. As I've written here in my outline, the Christian church, in generality, have not any clue about the history of the Jewish people. We know about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We know about, you know, they were in Egypt and they walked out of Egypt. We know about Moses and he was rescued from the river and so on. We know events, but we do not know the doctrine that existed in Israel and later in Judah. Verse number 12. Then said unto me, Son of man, have you seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imaginary. For they say, the Lord sees us not. The Lord has forsaken the earth. The two teachings, now if you look upon the outline here. And let me just read this. I have found that most Christians are ignorant of Judaism, the history of Judah and Israel. They have no clue what is secret so in the temple. Jesus and his apostles knew that aside from the Old Testament, there were two other teachings in Judaism. The Talmud and the Kabbalah would be the core doctrine of the Antichrist system. Turn to page number 2 now. So let's get the very short introduction to these different writings. So let me just say this so some of you understand it. In the synagogues today, 2022, and in the synagogues over the years, very seldom do they read in the synagogues from the Old Testament. And by the way, at the time that this was written, they had no books. They had scrolls. In every synagogue in the United States, if you go to Germany, you go to any country where they have a synagogue, they have scrolls. And they contain each book of the Old Testament. And so it's a big like a container, and you got these scrolls sticking up there. So instead of having a book, if they want to take the Old Testament, they have to get all the scrolls together and walk with it. So this is what they had. Now, so in the synagogues, they read sometimes from a scroll of the Old Testament. There are two synagogue systems. We got the regular one, and then we got the Kabbalistic synagogues. And the Kabbalistic synagogue, for example, in America, is called Chabad. And they are the biggest group of Jews in America today. So what do they read? They read the Talmud. Page 2, top. The Talmud, or the Babylonian Talmud, was developed by renegade rabbis in Babylon. There's also a lesser-known rival in Jerusalem, the Jerusalem Talmud. The Babylonian Talmud is the most widely used by Jews. It's divided into 63 subjects or chapters. These are in turn further divided into 517 chapters. So it's a big work. The Talmud is a commentary on the Old Testament by different rabbis, but it also contains rabbinical teaching, most of it contradicting the Old Testament. So, Jewish people today don't have the New Testament. They very seldom read in the Old Testament, and they read from the Talmud and the Kabbalah. I'm not making this up. This information is available online. I noticed now that there's a lot of stuff that you can find online that when I learned about this, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have computers at that particular, personal computers. And so I had to use books. I had to use material. I had to go and search out. And I got quite a bit of material that I got on this. But I want you to see these 10 points here from the Talmud. And this is, I pointed out, the worst of the worst. It says only Jews are humans, all Gentiles are animals, and they do not have a soul. If you read the book of Acts, and I'm not going to take the time to read the book of Acts chapter 10, but you will find that after the day of Pentecost, the apostles and the 70 elders and the women never went to the Gentiles. They simply preached the gospel to all the Jews. And so, after a few months in Jerusalem, we had a large church there. They estimated about 25,000 Jews in Jerusalem in the church there. And they'd gone some other places, but they only preached to Jews. Because, and I want you to understand this now, we'll say it slow. The apostles, John, James, and all the others, believed that Gentiles had no souls. A Jew at the time of Jesus would not go to the house of a Gentile and eat there. They will be defiled. And so after a few months, after the day of Pentecost, Jesus realized that this is not going the way it should go. Because you read in Matthew chapter, the last chapter of Matthew, it says there in chapter 28, go you into all the world and preach to all people. The same thing in Mark chapter 16. So now we had the vision of Peter. And I'm sure that you read that. And you're thinking, well, the book of Acts chapter 10 was written so that you could eat the pork and the shrimps and all the ungodly food that God said in Leviticus 11, do not eat. But if you read the chapter, you'll find this. We had a Gentile centurion, Cornelius. He had a vision. He was a worshiper of God. He had a vision. And in the vision, an angel came and said, send to Joppa. There's a guy down there by the name of Peter. He's at Simon and Tanner's house. Bring him to you, and he will tell you what you need to do. Now, why didn't the angel simply say, hey, Cornelius, here's the deal? Because angels cannot preach the gospel. They are forbidden. Because angels cannot be tempted. So Satan cannot mess with them. So the gospel has to be preached to people. Because we can be attacked. We can be tempted. We can be tossed around. And we had to fight. So to make the story short, Peter came up. The house is full of Gentiles. And what did Jesus say? What did Peter say? He said, I perceive now that God is not a respecter of persons, but that also to the Gentiles, they could be saved. Peter realized Gentiles are people. They have souls. Well, that should not come as a surprise, because remember this. Abraham was not a Jew. Abraham was a Chaldean. Noah was not a Jew. We don't know what nationality, because he lived before the flood. And so Job was not Jewish. He got saved. So Peter now, as he was preaching to these Gentiles, the Holy Ghost baptized them as they stood there and accepted Christ and believed. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then Peter said, well, if these people have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we should baptize them in water. So they did. Now you read chapter 11. Peter and I had to go to Jerusalem. And there was James, the half-brother of Jesus. And Peter came up and said, you know what? Gentiles have souls. It was a bomb. It was simply the apostles that were there and the Christians accepted. What? What are you saying, Peter? That's blasphemy. And Peter said, well, let me tell you the story. He told them the story. And they realized they were wrong. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? It took Peter a vision, Cornelius, to bring the church to understand, the Jewish church, that Gentiles have souls. Now, I am not anti-Semitic. I don't hate Jews. I feel sorry for them. They're just people like us. They are lost. They need Christ. But if you... Now, Jews are smart enough that they're not going to tell you, a Gentile, hey, you're a dog. You're a dog. You don't have a soul. They're not going to tell you that. Because they are understanding how to be smart, how to get along. But inside, and when they talk in the synagogues, they simply said, those idiots, those Gentiles, they don't have a soul. They are just cattle. So you got to understand that mentality. The generation of Jews we have today, they did not think this up. This goes back to King Solomon and the Kabbalah. They have been raised like this. Understand me now. If you live in Japan, you'll be raised in a Buddhist home. Children there are Buddhist. If you are living in India and you're raised in a home, a Hindu home, you're going to be a Hindu. If you're born in Saudi Arabia, you're going to be taught the Islamic faith, and you're going to be a Muslim. Can we say that Japanese people are bad people, should shoot them? Should we say that Hindus are bad people? No. They are brought up in that faith belief. That's their background. Are they bad people? No. They are simply born in the wrong place with a wrong religion. You are a Christian. You should be standing up and saying, praise God, that I'm not a Muslim, I'm not a Buddhist, I'm not a Jew, I'm not this or that, I'm not a Mormon, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness, I am born again. But most of us are dense. We don't think. We take things for granted. So let me go through this point now. Number one, only Jews are humans. All Gentiles are animals, and they do not have souls. Only Jews can own property. Gentiles have no property rights. But right now, they can't practice that. Third, Gentiles observing the Sabbath day should be sentenced to death. Gentiles are to work 7 days per week. If a Gentile takes a Jew to court, the Jew shall all be found not guilty. Conversely, if a Jew takes a Gentile to court, the Gentile is automatically guilty and must pay all damages. Now, you can see that here in America today. If you are a Democrat, you can do whatever you want to do, and you're always let off the hook. If you happen to be a Christian, if you're Republican or conservative, or you belong to a conservative movement, they slam you, they throw the book away at you. 5. Jewish adults may have sexual intercourse with a boy down to the age of 9 years and one day. In other words, you can sodomize a child. He got to be 9 years and one day. That's important, one day. There's a lot of rabbis that have gone to prison now in Israel and also in the United States of having sodomized boys and also have sex with girls. A man can have sex with a girl as young as 3 years old and one day old. These people are pedophiles. 7, there's no punishment if a Jew kills a Gentile. If a Gentile kills a Jew, he shall be given a death penalty. 8, Jewish employers are allowed to cheat on the wages of Gentiles. A Jew is permitted to commit sodomy on a neighbor's wife. Any Gentile studying the Talmud should be put to death. You study the Talmud, and you should be put to death. Okay, understand this now. It's bad stuff. Well, they don't run the United States completely yet, but this will be the laws during the time of the Antichrist. I have picked out some of the worst teaching on the Talmud. As you can see, it is an evil belief system that embraces racism, hate, rebellion, theft, pedophilia, murder, sodomy. There are also additional teaching about incest, rape, and other horrors. And I've given you a book, the footnote there, where we have the Jewish religion, the influence today, written by Elizabeth Dilling back about 1983, right? Actually, it was written before that. I want you now to turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. And if you don't know about the Jewish customs, you don't know about the Talmud, you don't know about the Kabbalah, there are many things in the Bible you don't understand. And you just simply move on. You says, well, I don't understand it, so I just move on. And that's ignorance. So, in the Talmud, there is another law called Korban. C-U-R-B-A-N, Korban. And it works like this. According to the Old Testament, children were to take care of their parents when they got older. That was a welfare system. But a lot of adults simply said, I don't want to spend money on dad and mom. You know, it's a drain on my economy. So I don't want to pay for them. I don't want to take care of them when I get older. How do I get out of it? Well, the Talmud and the rabbis simply said, we got a deal. Here's a deal. If you have some property, you come to us, and you simply sign over your property to the synagogue. And once you've done that, you have your property, you can live on it until you die, and you don't have to put a dime to your mom and dad. You are free. Let them go out in the tulips and take care of themselves. That was called Korban. Well, in Mark chapter 7 here, we're going to read this. And I'm going to start here in verse number 6. He answered and said unto them, well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as is written. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, the Talmud and the Kabbalah. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. So you won't find the word Talmud in the New Testament. It's a tradition of men. As of washing your pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition, that you may keep the Talmud. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whosoever curses father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift by whatsoever you might be profited by me, he shall be free, and you suffer him no more to do aught for his father and mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, through the Talmud, which you have delivered, and many such things you do. Now, I'm sure that you read that scripture. I'm sure you probably have heard it in Sunday school. And Corban, you never understood what it meant. And that's the problem. Christianity came from the Middle East. The Old Testament is setting in the Middle East. The New Testament, Jesus was in the Middle East. And we got to understand, we cannot take American traditions, Russian traditions, Japanese traditions, and simply superimpose them upon the Bible. We have to look what happened at that particular time. Page number 3 now. The Kabbalah. The Kabbalah consists of a sum of 550 books, and its origin is traced to the time the 12 tribes of Israel were in Egypt. The Kabbalah reared its ugly head when Korah tried to overthrow his cousin and lead the people back to Egypt. Turn me to Numbers chapter 16. That's the book of Numbers chapter 16. Remember now, Korah was a cousin of Moses. Korah's dad was a brother to Moses' dad. They were related. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, son of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. These were the politicians, these were the top dogs. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord's among them. Wherefore then lift you yourself up above the congregation of the Lord. Now, when Moses heard that, he simply got very angry because Korah was a Kabbalistic, at that time they were not Jews, he was a Levite. He was a Kabbalistic Levite, and he simply said, I'm going to take down Moses. Matter of fact, if you're talking about, we're going to go back to Egypt. This experiment here, we're not going to handle. Now, if you read here in verse, we're going to go down to verse number 28. And Moses said, hereby should you know that the Lord has sent me to do all these work, for I have not done of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. Moses was shook. Here the Kabbalistic group in Israel rose up, and they said, Moses, You are serving the wrong God. We're serving the right God. And Moses said, if these men die a regular death, I'm not called. And Moses said, hereby you should know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open up her mouth and swallow them up with all appurtenance that contains to them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you should understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Now, think about this now. Here's Moses standing there out on the plain. He said, I want the earth to open up. This takes faith. I want these guys to go straight down to hell. Lock, stock, and barrel. And it came to pass, verse 31, after he made an end of speaking all his words, that the ground clave asunder under them, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that had pertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained unto them went down alive into the pit. The earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. That was quite a sight. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. Now, there's a thing here that I want you to see that took place. If we now go to verse number 41. But on the morrow, that's the next day, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. Catch that phrase now. They simply saw the earth open up. Wow, that is supernatural. But they were so entrenched in the Kabbalah that they simply thought that Moses was a witch. He was a wizard. And that he simply had killed them by witchcraft. You have killed the people of the Lord. You read the rest of the chapter, and you will find out that there was more plagues, more people died. And eventually, the people realized that Moses was serving the right God. Let's pause right now, and I want you to think. The Jews living today, a number of them are Kabbalists, the rest of them are Talmudists. But the Kabbalists believe that Lucifer is God, and they are going to have him to rule this earth. Is that crazy? Well, go and ask a Muslim. He would say that Allah is a prophet. He would swear that the Quran is right. You go to a Hindu. He will swear that Hinduism is right. You take Muslims in Pakistan and Hindus in India, they hate each other. They kill each other. Each one got a bad religion. And they all go to hell. You talk to a Mormon. And you simply said, do you realize that Mormonism was based upon two crooks, Joseph Smith and Brigham Young? And oh, no, 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 no. They swear that these men, for godly men, they were murderers, thieves. They had lots of wives. They were rascals. You take a Jehovah's Witness, and you try to witness about Jesus. And they said, no, Jesus is not divine. No. He's not divine. You can't convince them. So what I'm telling you is this. Satan has created all the different religions. And he has these people believe this, and these people believe that, and so on. And each one would swear they have the truth. Do you understand what it means? The gift of repentance. No one can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And they can only come if the Holy Spirit draws them. So we should feel compassion upon the Jewish people that are lost, that believe in the wrong God. It was King, back on page 3, it was King Solomon, the wisest man on earth, that embraced the Kabbalah and accepted the number 666 as his Kabbalistic name. So turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 10. That's 1 Kings chapter 10. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 14. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents. Now he was worshipped. He wanted 666 talents of gold, not 665 or 667, 666. And the question is, why? Because 666 was his Kabbalistic number. Most of you don't know anything about Freemasonry. Freemasonry is based upon the Kabbalah. And 666 is a very holy number for them. In the same chapter, if you go up now to verse number 18, moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory, overlaid it with the best gold. The throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round behind. There were stays on either side of the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood besides the stays. And 12 lions stood there on the one side, on the other upon the 6 steps, and there were none the like made in any kingdom. So picture the throne now. The throne, 6 lions here, 6 steps leading up, 6 lions here. Anyone standing there, 666. That was the number of Solomon. Now, turn with me to Revelation, and we're going to go to chapter 13. That's Revelation, the 13th chapter, and we're going to pick it up in verse number 15. And this is the false prophet. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had a mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that is understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Everybody at the time of the book of Revelation was given knew that he was talking about Solomon and his system. If you check on Freemasonry, you will find that they always talk about rebuilding the temple of Solomon. They talk about the number 666. And so, in the occult, in the Kabbalah, among the Jews, and the people that are Freemasons, they know all these things. The only one that do not know them are the Christians. And we are just dumb sheep, and we're wondering, why do they want to defund the police? Why do we have prosecutors that simply will not prosecute people? Very simple. It's a Kabbalistic system. I'm going to come to that in the end here. Let's look at some basic teaching on the Kabbalah now. Page 3. This is the core teaching. Now, I have a series of books called The Kabbalah, The Harlot of All Harlots. And you can actually go to our bookstore and get these books there and learn more about this. But here's the basics. God became confused, the Kabbalah says, as he was doing the creation. And he got so confused that a part of him fell off and ended up in the bottomless abyss. And there it took a form of a serpent. And a serpent is the Messiah. Now, how did they get the serpent up? So the Kabbalists, at the time of Solomon, they were meeting and talking about it. And the teaching they had was simple this. There's two ways to get the serpent up. One way is to make the entire earth good, all people good, or make all people bad. And they made a decision and said, you know, it is very hard to make people good. Yes, it is. But he said, it is so easy to make them evil. So it's called a low road. And so the Kabbalists decided that we will sin. And we will teach people to sin. The more we sin, the faster the serpent will come up. Point number two. The people of Israel embraced idolatry and child sacrifice because the Kabbalistic leadership told them the Messiah would rise for the abyss fast if they sinned greatly. Now you wonder, why did they burn their children on the arms of Moloch? Why did they do all these things? They simply did that because the Kabbalistic rabbis told them the worst thing you do, the more bad things you do, the more you serve God. And they only talked to you about in part number 3, where they said that when Moses went up to the mountain to meet God, he met the bad God, but the 70 elders, notice now, 70 elders, they were at the foot of the mountain, they met the good God, his name is Lucifer. You read in Freemasonry, Lucifer is God. You talk to Kabbalistic Jews, Lucifer is God. Number 4. The leaders of the Kabbalah initiated with an oath of death. Mormonism, you go to temple, you take an oath of death. Freemasonry, oath of death. Rosicrucians, oath of death. Kabbalistic Jews, oath of death. Page 4. Now, having said all of this, most of you that have not heard this are shocked and simply say, how do you know this? Do we find this in the Bible? And their answer is yes. So let's turn now to Isaiah. That's the prophet Isaiah. And we're going to turn to chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 25. And we're going to start in verse number 18. And this is something that you heard people read sometimes in church, and it goes like this. Woe unto them that draw iniquity because of vanity, and sins as it were with a cart rope. In other words, woe unto them that get the wagon out there, loaded up with sin, and drag it down the road. That say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. If you don't know the Kabbalah, you don't understand that. And I see how someone was given a message from God and say, this is an abomination. Well, if you go now in Isaiah chapter 28. That's Isaiah chapter 28. And we pick it up there in verse number 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people which is at Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. And then God spoke and said this, therefore says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation of stone, that's Jesus, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste. Judgment also shall I lay to the line and righteous to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding places. Now look in verse number 18. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled. Your agreement with hell shall not stand when the overflowing scourge shall pass through. Then you shall be trodden down by it. These are verses that simply God thundered against the Kabbalah. But if you don't know that Kabbalah exists, you read this and you don't understand it. If we now go to Isaiah chapter 29 and verse number 15, we see this. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide the counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who sees us and who knows us? The prophet Jeremiah also prophesied against that. You find that in Jeremiah chapter 7. And we're going to pick it up here in verse number 1, at Jeremiah 7. Then the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word, the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways, change your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust you not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord of these. And then we go down in verse number 8. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense of Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. We're doing them because we want the serpent to get up. Then Jeremiah chapter 11. And we read this from verse number 9. And the Lord said to me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah, among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They have turned back to the iniquities of the forefathers, which refused to hear my words. They went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I have made with their fathers. There is a conspiracy, and that conspiracy continues to this very day. Turn now to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 22, and we find out the same message. Ezekiel, chapter 22, and take me a long time to get there. Ezekiel, chapter 22, and verse number 24. Ezekiel 22, there we go, 24. Son of man, Say unto her, you are the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon a day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of a prophet in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They've taken the treasures and the precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law, have profaned mine holy thing. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbath and am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets had daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus says the Lord God, where the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression, exercised robbery, have vexed the poor and needy, yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up a hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. And eventually, Jerusalem was destroyed. Why did Israel go down in defeat? Why did Judah go down in defeat? Listen to me carefully now. The Kabbalistic leadership that captured most of the kings and the politicians deliberately debased the country. They simply changed right from wrong. And they made the people sin. And they actually run Israel and Judah into the ground. And they were destroyed. Ask yourself this question. Why is Joe Biden and the Democrats destroying America? It's deliberate. It's not by accident. It is not that Joe Biden has dementia. That's not how to do with it. This is a plan that has been in progress for many years. It started not with Obama. It started with Franklin Roosevelt. It started before that. It's a deliberate destruction. Why? Because the Kabbalistic system is what causes this. Because Christians do not understand the Kabbalah, they are looking at Joe Biden and everybody else and saying, well, it doesn't make sense. But to a Kabbalist, it does make sense. It's clearly what they want to do. Let's turn to Matthew 3 right now. Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist recognized them. And when the people, the Kabbalists, came to John the Baptist, he called them out. Matthew 3:7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Now, you read that, and he says, why did he call them generation of snakes? Well, they were worshiping the holy serpent. They were trying to get the serpent out of the abyss. These were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the leadership of Israel. Jesus called them out. Matthew 12:34. That's Matthew 12:34. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil? Let's look at that verse, what Jesus said. O generation of snakes, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And let me go to Matthew. Actually, I want to go now to John 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. And we're going to pick it up from verse number 14 and 15. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth the prophet that should come unto the world." When Jesus therefore perceived they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again to the mountain himself. These men were Kabbalists, and they simply saw Jesus. Wow, supernatural miracles. This must be the Messiah. Let's take him. Let's make him king. Let's force him to face the Romans. And he will have miracles. He will destroy the Roman armies. And we will begin the rule of the Jews. And Jesus hid himself. In Romans chapter 3, verse number 8, we read this. Now, Paul was a Pharisee. Romans chapter 3, verse number 8. Let me read verse number 7 and get continuity. "For if the truth of God has more abounded through my lie unto this glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, as some affirm, that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just." Paul was accused of being a Kabbalist. He said, "I am not." Let me try to do a summary on this now. And I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 11. That's Daniel chapter 11. And we're going to read here from verse 11. And I'm going to start from verse number 36. "And the king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers." Now, when he talked about this, this guy is Jewish. "Nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But his estate shall he honor the God of forces, a God whom his father knew not, shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stone and pleasant things. That shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange god, whom he shall acknowledge and increase the glory, shall cause them to rule with many, and shall divide the land for gain." The Antichrist is going to be of Jewish descent. He's going to be a practicing homosexual. The Talmud and the Kabbalah will be the religion of the Antichrist and his false prophets. So what I share with you today says, well, it sounds like hogwash. It sounds like crazy. Well, this is going to be how it's going to be in the kingdom of the Antichrist. We can also say he's going to be woke. Everything that is good is going to be bad, and everything bad is going to be good. If you turn there to 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and this will be our last scripture here for today. And I'm getting everything except what I want to go. 2 Thessalonians. And we're going to look in verses. I start in verse number 8. "And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the breath of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness I will write to them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but oppression and righteousness. But we are bound to give thanks over to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So, this is where we are today. Now, who is the real president of the United States? Not Joe Biden. The real acting president, his name is Ron Klain, K-L-A-I-N. He's a Jewish lawyer, a Kabbalist. He's chief of staff, and he has with him a number of other Jews. And this is the man that made the different policies that Joe Biden signed. Nobody looks at Ron Klain. What he wants to do is this. He's a Kabbalist. He believes this, that the more we sin, the faster the serpent will come up. And he has the power now, being the chief of staff, to simply use the office of the presidency to engage America into all kind of vile sins. Why do we have prosecutors like you have Gascon in Los Angeles, you had Bourdain in San Francisco, and others? I mean, you had them all over. It's because there's another Jew by the name of George Soros. George Soros now is probably in his 80s. He made his money by manipulating countries' currencies, bankrupting many of them. Now, he has thrown money into races for prosecutors. Why would he do that? He's a Kabbalist. And he's simply saying this: I'm going to put my money in. And when he put in for a race of a prosecutor, he's not putting in $100,000. He put in $20, $25, $30 million in a prosecutor's race in a county. And what he's done is, he has now got prosecutors from the East Coast to the West Coast that are throwing out the criminals, emptying the prisons, not prosecuting crime. And with other words, he's doing evil. Now, does Bourdain, Gascon, do they know what they're doing? No. They just got taken in by this, and they got a lot of money for doing it. But no one connects the dots. Let me talk about Jeff Epstein. Now, he was a rotten guy to the core. He didn't have any money. And yet, he had Bill Clinton, he had Bill Gates, he had a whole bunch of very well-known people that he would fly on his Lolita Express to the Bahamas, to Arizona someplace, to his mansions here and there. He would compromise these men. He would give them sex from children, young people, whores. They videotaped it. And he used that to simply blackmail them. Who financed him? Well, most people don't connect the dots. He was financed by not a Jew, by the name of Les Wexner. Now, most of you never heard about Les Wexner. He is a multi-billionaire. But if I tell you one of the companies he had, Victoria's Secret. Victoria's Secret, it was an abomination. It simply dressed women up like sluts. He's the one that bankrolled Epstein. Jeff Epstein, Jewish. Les Wexner, Jewish. Now we take Ghislaine Maxwell, the whore that worked with Epstein. She's also Jewish. She's a British Jew. Her father was Robert Maxwell, who was very famous working for the Mossad, and finally killed him because he wanted too much money. Let me mention just a couple of more things here. Let me talk about Jared and Ivanka Trump. In 1994, and I told you this, that Chabad, now look this up when you late this afternoon, Chabad, C-H-A-B-A-D, look it up, and you will find it on the internet. They have their own websites. It's a Kabbalistic system. It's a Kabbalistic synagogue. And they are the biggest synagogue system today in America and in the world. They're all over the world. They had a leader. The last leader they had was Menachem Mendel Schneerson. He was in the White House when George H. Bush was there. And they signed what they called the Noahide Laws as a resolution and put in the congressional records. Schneerson died in 1994. The Kabbalist in Shabbat simply said, he is the Messiah. He's going to rise again. He's going to be resurrected. And there is a small little mausoleum in New York. It's a little cemetery outside. And you got a little mausoleum there where they got him down in the ground in the mausoleum. And Jared and Ivanka Trump has gone there several times to pray to Menachem Schneerson and simply pray, please come up fast. We need you. So, let me try to wrap this. The prophet Ezekiel was a powerful man that God simply shaped. Ezekiel lived 2,900 years ago in that vicinity. He prophesied. He saw visions. And they were written down. At that time, the temple visions didn't mean that lot that he knew that they were doing abominations. But if you know about the Kabbalah, you know about the Talmud, and you take the prophet Ezekiel, and you put them together, and you connected the dots, here's a picture. Wow! That's why we got homosexual marriages. That's why we got transgenders. That's why we got critical race theory. That's why we got all the woke stuff. Where does it come from? It comes from the Kabbalah. It comes from the people that follow Lucifer. And they have finally got enough power that they are not only polluting America, but they're polluting England. They're polluting Europe. And they're simply preparing the ground for the Antichrist. What can you do about it? Well, today was an educational sermon. I tried to educate you today. And simply saying this, this is what we are facing. This is why we have the crisis on the street. This is why we got bad prosecutors. This is why we got corrupt judges. Most of the judges are Freemasons. That's why this guy Klain is running the nation and telling Joe Biden, you know, he just reads off what they tell him to do. And that's why the Kabbalists are trying to do with America what their ancestors did to Judah and Israel, run us in the ground. It's purposely. It's not by accident. They are simply working day and night how to do more destruction. We need to pray. First of all, we need to be educated. If this is the first time you heard this, but I'm telling you today, you need to say, well, I need to start research. I'm going to buy the Kabbalah series that I wrote, and you can find it on our website, theyeruc.org. I'm going to find out about the Talmud. I'm going to find out about these different things. I'm going to look up these names. Is it so? And you're going to find what I told you today. You're going to find it all. It's all there. But the average Joe Blow has no inkling. He just... And the church is in the dark. If you listen to me and you are not saved, and you said today, now I know why things are bad. I want to get saved. I want to get off this. I don't want to be part of the Kabbalah. Simply do this. God, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I believe that Jesus Christ is the real Messiah. I believe he died on the cross, rose on the third day, and through his death and resurrection, I can be saved. Jesus, come on in and save me. Forgive me my sins. Cleanse me. I want to be saved. If you pray that prayer, he will save you. When we close here, three crosses will come up on your screen. You will hear the voice of Pastor Charles saying, my friend, he will take 10 minutes of your time, and he will take you step by step and show you how to be saved, how to pray, and to make sure that you are born again. If you do that, would you contact us? We'd like to encourage you. We'd like to send you some stuff and help you to grow in Christ. If you are walking with the Lord and you says, wow, this is overwhelming. Well, the Antichrist is around the corner. And so what you need to do is simply saying this. I'm going to look at this more. I will look it up every scripture that was used today. I'm going to check out the Kabbalah. I'm going to check out the Talmud. I'm going to check on these Jewish names. I'm going to find out if it is so. And you're going to find it is so. Then, when you're educated, start educating people around you. Simply go to pastors, Christians in church, and they said, hey, you're barking up the wrong tree. This is the problem. This is where you need to be. And God will be with you. And I pray that in the name of Jesus, you're not simply saying, oh, okay, another sermon, you know. Let's do something else. I pray that you will be an action Christian, not one that is slothful and you're sleeping on your bed. Thomas, come in close.
Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And 6:34, it says, take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That pretty much sums it up for me. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Father God, thank you for the word, Lord. It's hard for me to fathom so many people being so ignorant, but it is the case that we see. And we thank you for the word of God. It's got it all in there for us. We thank you that there is people that are grasping the truth, waking up. I see it in my own life with some people. So I thank you for that. I thank you for those out there that still have not bowed their knee to Baal, that still seek the truth, that don't have blinders on, so many that want to fit the Bible into their doctrine instead of deriving their doctrine from the Bible. So we thank you for those truth seekers. And we ask your blessing upon each person that came to hear the word. And we thank you for knowledge to increase in the word. And I'm reminded of the prophet Daniel in chapter 12. He said, seal up the book until the time of the end. And, you know, I believe we're there at the time of the end, and these things are being revealed. So I believe we're going to have more revealing as time goes on, showing us exactly what the Word of God said. We thank you for our many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray, the Redeemer. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 73rd part in the series, The Origin Story of Jesus, and was entitled, Two Hell Teachings. Lucifer introduced a false doctrine that took root while the Hebrews were in Egypt under the bondage of Pharaoh. This hell teaching is the foundational religion of the Antichrist system, and its followers have worked tirelessly since the days of King Solomon to usher in their false Messiah. Ezekiel exposed it, but if you do not know about the twisted and insidious teachings of the Talmud and the Kabbalah, you will not understand the seemingly foreign words of the prophet. Most Christians are blissfully ignorant of these hell teachings because the early church leadership did not deem it important. The United States is systematically being destroyed because the majority of the people in the Biden administration are Jewish and followers of the Kabbalah. Their ancestors ran Israel and Judah into the ground some 2,700 years ago, and unless something dramatic happens, the same thing is in store for America. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1868. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.